Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankle.
Throws. It is caught. Touchdown.
Drops back to third. It's picked off. Touchdown.
Shotgun snap. Under pressure. Ball is through.
This is the Mean Gene Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show here on ESPN 97.5, Sunday, August 11th, 2024. Welcome all you folks who just finished listening to the Dallas Cowboys get their asses kicked. Okay, it was only about 1 point. It was only about 1 point, and it was at the last minute, which made it so thrilling for me because my producer, AJ, we talked about this last week. And when I knew I had to come in here today, I knew that game was going to be on. And I said, yes, if they lose, it's going to be a damn good show.
I mean, it's about 1 point against people who might get cut, be on practice squads, maybe in the XFL or UFL. So, I mean, I'm not.
No, that team you saw today is going to be your team. You're going to be stuck with that team.
The NFL will wish for that.
That you saw in the fourth quarter.
Once CD gets paid, once everybody gets good, we're going to be green.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we're going to talk about that. All right, folks. So, hey, welcome back for another episode. Hope you are enjoying your weekend. And look, we're going to get into the Olympics today because the closing ceremony, which is something that I watch all the time, it's very good. If you ever, you know, if you haven't watched it, you'll probably be able to watch the delayed version of that tonight. But we're going to talk about NFL preseason week one. We're going to look at the games that were played on Friday, Saturday, and today. We will also talk about the Texans and the Steelers game. Okay, I think I got a text from my former producer, and he just was rubbing it in that he hoped that the Texans just beat the brakes off the Steelers, which they did win that game. But it's like you just said, AJ, it's preseason, right? So we're going to talk about that. CJ Stroud, got a chance to see him out there along with Justin Fields. And we also are going to get like deeper into football talk here because we only got a couple of more weeks before the regular season. And I promised you that I would cover every division in football before the season starts. So today we're going to talk about the AFC South. And of course, we will also talk about the AFC North. So we will have those predictions, but I won't be alone because later on in the show, we are going to have Jeremy Brenham from ESPN 97.5 here, the Killer Bees. You might have heard that name before. He's also the voice of the University of Houston Cougars. He's going to join me as we get into the Texans talk and see exactly what's going to be happening for 2024. And in the second hour, we will get into the AFC North predictions with CBSSports.com senior writer Brian DiArdo. We had him on last week, but he specifically covers the AFC North. So we're going to be talking about that today. So, AJ, as I stated, the Olympics is over. Okay. And I want to say congratulations to the U.S. men's and women's basketball team, gold medal winners, and also the women's soccer team. Okay. They also were able to bring home the gold. So, look, I'm going to go on record and say that this was probably one of the most exciting Summer Olympics that I have seen in a while. And I think when you look at the medal count and exactly how the United States did, you would agree with me. What do you say about that, AJ?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, like you said, even soccer winning as well. I mean, that was a testament to just how many good athletes that we have.
Over Brazil, the
right,
women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And they pride themselves in soccer. But that was great. And, of course, you know, basketball, that's my favorite sport. I'm Reverend Devin Booker right now, one of my favorite players. So just really glad seeing them being able to come together. I know we were talking earlier before the show, talking about the women's, how they narrowly won the game. But, I mean, that's that. I'm glad they were just able to win. But one thing that we do have to take away, though, is that these other teams, in terms of the men's basketball team, they're going to catch up. Like, I think they're catching up slowly. I mean, France, we saw Wemby. I mean, he had 20 points. I think he had a double-double yesterday against the U.S. And we sent basically like the Avengers, the best of the best there. And they,
yeah.
And it was a little struggle. But, I mean,
that's
2028.
And you're noticing that some of the best just happens to be playing for these other countries,
right,
which is making it a lot tougher. And we saw that today in the gold medal game for the women's, which, you know, look, this is the time of the year that I bite my fingernails because mostly during football games. But the game today between the United States and France was just, I don't know what was on the mind of the USA women's team. I don't know. I think they finished with like 15 or 16 turnovers. It was horrible.
I think it was like 19 turnovers, actually.
Well, so 14 in the first
half.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That's,
which
yeah, that's
was
absurd.
Just unreal. Absurd. I don't know, but they have a couple of girls on that France team that play in the WNBA. But, you know, this is what we're starting to see, especially with basketball, is that the best, you know, we're playing the best of the best. These, especially with, even with the France team, you got Rudy Gobert, and you got Wemby and Batum. I mean, look here, it's just getting tougher. So, and not to mention that these guys, they play with these guys during the regular NBA season and WNBA season. So they know everything that they do, their moves. But look, we would take the 1-point victory because I don't know what would have happened if the USA women's would have lost that game today, because we already heard the talk about the individuals that did not make the team. And we also saw with the WNBA All-Star versus the U.S. Olympic team, what happened there. You used to have a lot of All-Star WNBA players that could have made this team that didn't, and not to mention the rookies, Reese and Caitlin Clark. So, but look, I mean, I'm just glad they got the win because we would have heard nothing but, you know, I told you so. You should have sent this person and that person. So anyway, looking at the overall count here, and this was, like I said, it was an impressive Olympics all the way around. The United States ended up with a total of, and I want to get this right for you, 126 medals. And 40 of those were gold, 44 silver, 42 bronze. And I believe we tied with China, if I'm not mistaken, because I do believe we tied with them. But this was an impressive Olympics for the USA. Now, I will have to talk about the one sport, which I talked to you guys about as soon as I got here, and that was breakdancing. I think breakdancing is like 30 years too damn late, because breakdancing was in back in the day. And I'm going way back in the day, because AJ, we know that you were born in 2002, so we can't go back far. But breakdancing was like back in the 80s, early 80s. And, you know, Mean Gene used to be a breakdancer. That's where I got that bald spot in the back of my head, because, you know, if you spin around on the floor a lot, you're not going to have hair like in about 30 years or 40 years. So that's what I was noticing this weekend. All of those young guys, they're going to have like a LeBron James type ball spot in their head in the next couple of years.
I make sure I don't try to do
it. Yeah, yeah, don't do it. Because you got your dreads now. You don't, because, man, but you have to do a lot of spinning to get to the core of your head.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I really do have a spot here. But I don't know. It just seemed out of place for me in the Olympics. I mean, I'm okay with breakdancing and competitions, but I just don't think it should be an Olympic event. I don't know how the hell it got in there. I'm starting to wonder about even the handball. What is it, basketball? Is it soccer? What the hell is it?
I don't know, honestly.
Because it's just like a meaningless sport. But nevertheless, the United States did good. But boxing, I was also a little bit disappointed. And that the fact that the United States, we just don't have the boxers that we once, you know, had with the Roy Jones and the Evander Holyfields of the world. And we had those guys that, you know, shine through the Olympics. But this year, it just wasn't there. So anyway, it's all said and done. It went by very quick. And now the 2028 Olympics will be in Los Angeles, California. So, look, we get to have it on our ground. So maybe we get some home cooking, just like the French did during these Olympics, because how does France men's basketball team and women's basketball team get to play for the gold? Some of those games leading up to this was questionable, in my opinion. But, hey, you know what they say, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans, right? Is that pretty much how it goes? But anyway,
I guess so.
We did really, really, really well. So I definitely have to give the, you know, congratulations to the United States. So, all right, for those of you listening to us on 97.5 ESPN, you know, you can also get us on YouTube, all right? And you can also follow us on Twitch. And, of course, you can call in if you want to be part of the show, especially Texans fans that want to get your thoughts on what you saw this weekend, Friday night with the Steelers and the Texans. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about that a little bit later with one of the Killer Bees here on 97.5 ESPN, Jeremy Branham. Get your thoughts on what this team is going to look like. And we're going to go very much in detail with the AFC South. And can the Texans repeat what they did last year and win that AFC South? We did get to see the Colts today. They played, the Denver Broncos, I believe. And we also got to see the Jaguars. So we're sort of looking at all of these teams. The Titans, they also play. So, I give you my thoughts on exactly what I think is going to take place. You can let me give you the telephone number, okay? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You call in. You tell AJ who you are. And, you know, look, Texans fans always have access to Mean Gene. Titans fans, Colts fans, we might make you wait on hold for damn near to the end of the show before I get to you. But I'll let you chime in with whatever you have. The Colts, look, very interesting. We got to keep our eyes on the Indianapolis Colts because, number one, Anthony Richardson is back. And look, one thing, you got to keep your enemies close. You know, if you're a Texans fan, you want to know what's going on with this team, with the Colts. You want to know what's going on with the Jaguars. Now we got a Jaguar fan. His name is Jimmy Jaguar. He already told me he's going to be calling in to the show in the next couple of weeks. I said, you know, just like I told you last week, AJ, he can call in when his team is 0-7. That's the best time to call in and talk Jaguars football is when you guys go 0-10 or something like that. I will open up the lines and you can just come in as often as you want. But no, it's good. So he's going to come on and talk a little bit. Titans, brand new looking team there. Will Levis trying to find his way. You don't want to miss a little bit later when we talk about those 2024 rookies that will be starting. Some of them may not start, but for the most part, Jaden Daniels got a look at him yesterday from the Washington Commanders. Also, Caleb Williams. We will talk about Caleb Williams a little bit as far as his outing with the Chicago Bears and all of that. So what you need to do, folks, is just stick around a little bit. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, you got more of the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Now back to Mean Gene, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, we are back once again. It's the Mean Gene Show here on a Sunday evening. And look, get used to this. We are in the preseason right now, but pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be full steam ahead because when the season kicks off on Thursday, September 5th, and then, of course, you got a Friday game over in Brazil. And then you got your weekend, your Sunday games. So the Mean Gene Show is your place to tune in for the breakdown of all of those games that will be played, even the ones on Thursday nights. And we won't always have a Friday night. That's some new stuff that the NFL is doing. Why Brazil? I don't know. It's just, we're just all over the damn place. If you like to travel, believe, hey, keep your passport up to date, because the NFL plays all over the world, as you do know. But Brazil should be interesting. But we're going to be here every Sunday night. Now, there might be some nights when the Dallas Cowboys have a Sunday night game. And, you know, they already told me, Mean Gene, we know how much you love the Cowboys. That's why you're not allowed in the studios on Sunday nights when the Cowboys play, because we don't want you to get fired, because we know you got nice things to say about them. But so there's a couple of Sunday nights that I will not be here. But Cowboy fans are going to love it, because they will be playing while I'm away. So, all right. Want to kind of get into what took place here with the preseason. So this is sort of like the real preseason, week one. I think you don't really count that Hall of Fame game as week one, at least. Well, you can't tell that to the Bears and the Texans, because they played it, right? So week two for them. But for everybody else, this really kind of kicked off week one. And look, so I have a big family, right? And they like all sorts of teams. It's not like one of those families where everyone in the family is a Cowboys fan or this, that, and the other. We have Cowboy fans, Ravens fans, Bears, Steelers, you name it. Okay. So last night I get a call from one of my nephews who just happened to live in Chicago. Okay. His name is Marcel. So he wanted to get my thoughts on the Bears and Caleb Williams, because I have another nephew in Chicago who's actually in radio, and he's going to be here September 15th. He's scheduled to be here in studio.
Man, that's awesome.
And he's a Bears fan. So I'm going to already let you know in advance, AJ, never turn his mic on the whole time that he's here with me. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he would like that.
Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. You know, but anyway, I'm one of those mean uncles. Okay. But no, so he's going to be here anyway. Anthony's going to be here with me, and we're going to talk about these Bears. So look, all right, now let me give you my thoughts on what I saw with the Bears. I mean, look, the score of that preseason game, do I really need to give scores? It was a meaningless type game there. But I think everyone in America wanted to see what this number one pick for the Bears was going to do. And he did pretty good. I must say so myself. Now, look, you know, I used to work for USC. And I worked for USC back in the days when Pete Carroll was there. And I ran into Pete Carroll quite a bit. Also ran into Justin Fargas and Reggie Bush and Troy Polamalu. It was that USC team. So, and I also had conversations with Matt Castle, you know, and this was after Carson Palmer had already left. So, I mean, what I'm getting at is that USC quarterbacks just, they don't have a great NFL reputation. Carson Palmer might be, you know, a little different there, but Caleb Williams is not necessarily a homegrown USC quarterback, because we know he played his football elsewhere before transferring to USC. I went to the Pac-12 championship game a couple of years ago in Las Vegas, and they played Utah in a game that I thought USC should have won, and he just didn't impress me at all. And that's not good for me to say, because I am a USC guy, you know, and a Razorback too. So you hear me talk about two college teams that I follow on a regular basis. But so I wasn't impressed. And, you know, and for the Bears to have, you know, did what they did. Look, I always said, and I'm not the only one that says this, that the Bears, if you want a good quarterback run, then just go to the Chicago Bears. They haven't had a great quarterback since Jay Cutler, in my opinion, anyway. And
when you thought he was great?
Well, by their standards, maybe, yeah. But we're not even going to go as far back as 85 and Jim McMahon, okay? Right. That's probably when they had their last great quarterback. Mm-hmm. But Cutler was okay. And so now we saw the Trubisky move, and I didn't, you know. But that was then, okay? Bears fans, I know they don't want to hear that. They want to talk about the guy they got now. And look, I think Caleb Williams looked pretty good. He looked really good. I would give him his props here, and let me just look at these stats here. I mean, he only got a couple of reps out there, which is, you know, I thought he should have probably played early on, but he didn't in that Hall of Fame game. So he was 4-7, 95 yards, and I think he led the team to a couple of, you know, field goal drives, no touchdowns. But nevertheless, he hit his tight end. He seems like a leader. He seems like a leader. He can't sing worth a damn. I think if you watch
Hard Knocks, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's one thing Bears fans don't have to worry about him singing. But no, look, when you look at what C.J. Stroud did for the Texans, and I know Bears fans are like, yes, man, can he do it? Can he do it? And I don't know. There's like six quarterbacks in this 2024 rookie class that have a chance to do something close. And when you look at Bryce Young, and I think I said this last week, he just wasn't given any pieces. And I think Dustin Pfeiffer, my Sports Kings co-host, confirmed that he just wasn't given the pieces that C.J. Stroud was given. But Caleb Williams has some pieces. And we, you know, with the tight end, Cole Kmet, you look at the wide receivers, Keenan Allen. So, I mean, maybe they can do something. And the Bears do have a defense. So I will sign off on Caleb Williams. I will. Your thoughts, AJ?
No, definitely. I mean, if you saw at least some of the preseason game yesterday, he had some pretty good throws. I know he was rolling to the right, and he had like one like kind of Aaron Rodgers
esque throw
in a tight window. Yeah, that was nice.
For a rookie quarterback, that looked pretty damn good.
For sure. I think he has all the capabilities. And like you said, he's walking into a great situation, a wide receiver core, having DJ Moore, who just got a new extension, mm-hmm. having Roma Dunze, having Keenan Allen. So mm-hmm. they definitely have a chance, in my opinion, to be a wild card caliber team. I mean, I think predicting like an 8 to 9 win season, maybe even 10 wins, if they, you know, like overachieve or, you know, upset some teams, they could, like, you know, like beat the Lions in the game, because, you know, in the NFC North are also in the Packers. Yeah. So they should be solid for sure.
Can't wait to talk about that division, because mm-hmm. I need to see a little bit more. I'm not going to count the Lions out, you know, and we got time to get to them and talk about them. But as far as these rookie quarterbacks, it is likely, more likely than unlikely, that one of these quarterbacks, when I say one of these, I'm talking about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, depending on what the Patriots are going to do with that starting quarterback position, Michael Penix Jr. Now, he may not have as much opportunities with Kirk Cousins, you know, that starter has already been named. But Bo Nix, I like what I saw from Bo Nix today. So one, maybe two of these quarterbacks have an opportunity to do something special for their teams like C.J. Stroud did. But look, if you're expecting, you know, to just really reduplicate what the Texans did, come on now. It just ain't going to happen. You got to have all the ingredients. You got to have a defense. Mind you, this Texans team, and cannot wait to talk with Jeremy about this team and how they have reloaded with talent. Just imagine, you know, you get to the playoffs last year, you win the division, and then you bring in Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Joe Mixon, and Stephon Diggs. Are you kidding me? And you think this team is going to be worse than so just stick around. I mean, you know, the AFC South is going to be interesting, but another one of these quarterbacks that kind of stood out to me was Jaden Daniels, who ran for a touchdown after throwing a perfectly placed deep pass in his first NFL competition to get Washington into the Jets territory in that 2017 preseason opener loss to the Jets. So, hey, we're talking about the number two overall pick from LSU. And were you able to see any of that?
I saw some of the highlights and stuff. I know I saw that one touchdown that Jaden Daniels had. He ran in. He had a couple of good throws. Mm-hmm. That's just one thing about the Cowboys being the NFC East. I'm just intrigued by the Commanders, you know, because they had a lot of different veterans to the defense. Obviously, Dan Quinn was the DC in Dallas. And, you know, he took
a lot of players, too, right, from the Cowboys.
Saying. Exactly.
Yeah.
And as a head coach, even though they lost to the Patriots and blew that lead, he still led them to the Super Bowl, of course, when they had Shanahan and stuff. So I'm intrigued by them, but it's a wait-and-see type of thing, from my opinion, you know.
I know it's early, but, you know, look, I think if you're looking at these rookie quarterbacks here, and let me, Jaden Daniels. So he was only 2 for 3, 45 yards there. And, look, they have a lot of quarterbacks on that Commanders team. I don't know who's going to be the number two. I think Quinn has already made it official that it would be Jaden Daniels as the starter. So now you're looking at Marcus Mariota, who has been like a journeyman now in the NFL. He's been around the block, as they say. And then you got Hartman, of course, and Driscoll, who had a pretty decent game No one had a touchdown, so that's kind of interesting. I think they still kind of, you know, well, except for a passing touchdown is what I'm trying to say. So Daniels did get in with a 3-yard run there. But so, hey, you know, like I said, these rookie quarterbacks in 2024 are going to be exciting. And I'm, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly who is going to have a C.J. Stroud-like performance. And then also Michael Penix Jr. Also looking pretty good in his debut with the Falcons. So I think, like I said, we already know that it's going to be Kirk Cousins at the helm there. But I think Falcon fans, I think you have something to look forward to there when it comes to. And I think that was that the Friday night game that they played there?
I believe so.
Yeah, sir. So that was with the Dolphins there. And just kind of looking at his numbers. So look here, 9 of 16, 104 yards there. And, of course, and they also have Heineke, however you want to pronounce that name. So should be pretty interesting there in the NFC South. So I can't wait to talk about the NFC South. And that's when we'll definitely have Dustin Pfeiffer on for sure to tell you what they might do. And then, look, J.J. McCarthy probably put up bigger numbers than anyone, him and Bo Nix. So, look here, I think this guy, I don't know, I would probably, from what I just saw this weekend with the Vikings, I would probably give J.J. McCarthy the start over Sam Darnold. I know Donald's been around for a while. I think J.J. McCarthy outplayed him.
Oh, I agree, absolutely. And he had that interception earlier, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, were like, oh, he's looking like that quarterback of Michigan who didn't, you know, take a lot of shots. But he ended up getting his poise. I really like that he's going to be under Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. He's a really intelligent football mind, and being the head coach there, obviously, offensive coordinator when the Rams won a few years ago. So I think that he's going to flourish with them, with Justin Jefferson specifically, too. So I'm really excited for J.J. And Sam Darnold, I mean, he'll be a good backup to him. But, yeah, I think that, I mean, honestly, you drafted him in the first round that early, traded for him. I mean, hey.
Talking about another USC quarterback. Yeah. He's homegrown.
Yeah.
Unlike Caleb, you know, Williams. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many more chances he'll be able to get, but we should see. But hey, look, let's go ahead and break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Texans with one of the killer bees, ESPN 97.5, Jeremy Brenham. So stick around. It's the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, so we are back once again. It's the Mean Gene Show here on ESPN 97.5. My next guest. Look, I can talk Texans football, and I will be the first to tell you I don't know everything about this team, especially the history of it. Having moved here like 7 years ago. But this is where we go to the experts, and it's just nice when you can find one just like right down the hall. And I am more than happy to bring on one of the co-hosts of the Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5, the Afternoon Drive Show. And he's also the voice of the U of H Cougars. Please welcome to the show, Jeremy Brenham. Jeremy, what's up?
Not a lot. Using that word experts way too loosely, Mean Gene. I'm ready to disappoint you in the next 12 minutes.
Oh, no. Look, because, no, I would be disappointing all of our listeners with my lack of knowledge. I know that you guys talk very highly of this team. I listen to your show. I know you guys know the ins and outs. But, look, man, you got to tell me what you think so far. Not maybe so much from the Hall of Fame game, but what did you see? What did you like? What did you not like in that first official preseason game versus the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, very small doses, right? So it's hard to really get a huge temperature on this team. We saw the starters play for two possessions offensively. First possession sold out. A lot of people were saying, hey, pass interference. It's an exhibition game. Didn't really care too much about that. And then they had a short field in that second possession, and, you know, C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, which was very common last year, picking up right where they left off, which is great to see because some people were a little worried about Tank Dell, whether it was off the broken leg or if it was, you know, the off-season shooting in Florida. But it doesn't look like he's missed a stride. He's their third receiver. So the offense is going to be pretty electric. On the defensive side, Daniil Hunter didn't play much, but in the time that he played, he created havoc. First offensive play for Pittsburgh, it gets right around the right tackle, is in Fields' face. Now, they actually, you know, got some pretty good yardage off of that play, but you go back and watch Hunter. Hunter just tore up that right tackle, hit him like a little Euro jab step. It was like a basketball move, and it wasn't even his best move. Just a little jab right, went around him, and you know, created some pressure, and then he had that sack later where he just basically breathed on Justin Fields, and he was so intimidated that he fell down. Things I didn't like, Damian Pierce, you know, we've been hearing these great reports from training camp, and he's going to be outstanding. He's back to who he was as a rookie. And look, he was playing behind an offensive line that was missing three of their five starters. They were missing a majority of their starters, so you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I saw indecisiveness. I saw a running back who was showing the same things he showed last year, where it's like, okay, I need to hit this hole right here, this cut, and it's a bunch of choppy steps, and he's slow getting there. So that's something I didn't like. And then on the defensive side, I would say really the entire second and third teams I didn't think played all that well, but especially the secondary. I think this defense could be in trouble if they have injuries. Knock on wood, they don't. But I wasn't too pleased with the twos and threes, especially in the secondary.
Well, you know what, and that's one of the things I also wanted to talk to you about, this depth chart, which, you know, I'm sitting here looking at this, and you know, you talk about Damian Pierce. I mean, you know, how critical was it for the Texans to go out and find someone like a Joe Mixon and get him in here?
I think it was huge. You know, and the opinions on Joe Mixon vary, right? You know, how much of an upgrade is he over Devin Singletary? I think one thing that people forget, though, when they talk about that, Devin Singletary is a free agent. Like, he had his options to go other places, too. So it's not like the Texans had him under a contract and released him. But they of course, feel like Joe Mixon's an upgrade over Devin Singletary. I think it's big just because he's kind of a workhorse, you know. He's been pretty consistent in terms of injuries. Ironically, he's currently injured. But I was seeing that he was back at camp today, so hopefully he's fine by week one. He can help you in the passing game a little bit. I'm curious what he does in pass protection. You know, I didn't watch Bengals games every single offensive snap. What I caught of the Bengals was whenever they were in prime time and red zone channel. But if you take the opinion of Cincinnati fans, they didn't think that Joe Mixon was very good in pass protection. So is he a three-down running back? I think the Texans feel like he is. I'm curious what he does in pass pro. And then I think that's one of the reasons they brought in Cam Akers, too. It's like, okay, there's this veteran that's out there. Yes, he's coming off an Achilles. Maybe we don't need him early in the season, but maybe by week six, week eight, he can evolve into that number two running back if Damian Pierce doesn't get to where we want him to go. I kind of view Cam Akers as Damian Pierce insurance, where if Pierce struggles, well, you got this veteran that can go and give you a little bit of juice. And if Pierce doesn't struggle, well, Cam Akers on a one-year deal, it didn't cost you a whole lot.
Yeah, that's a pretty good position to be in. Once again, folks, you are listening to the voice of the Killer Bees. He's also the voice of the University of Houston Cougars, Jeremy Branham, on the Mean Gene Show here. So when you look at what the Texans did last year, you win the division, get into the playoffs, were you shocked when they were able to land the likes of a Danielle Hunter, a Joe Mixon, and a Stephon Diggs?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would consider it shocked, yes. You know, we don't normally see the Texans as an organization that makes these big, splashy, sexy hires. And that's probably unfair to Nick Caserio. Like, we kind of lump in the entire organization history as to what Nick Caserio is going to do as a general manager. I think fans have a nasty habit of that. I think, well, this is what we've always done. Well, Nick Caserio is just recently the general manager, and this is the first time he's coming off a winning season. So maybe it's not fair to characterize the Texans in a totality viewpoint when talking specifically about Nick. But, yeah, I mean, going into the offseason, you're telling me that you're going to get Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, all of this star power. Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning, especially for the history of the Texans,
yeah,
which I just told you not to do. but, yeah, I mean, it really is. But at the same time, I love it. I like the aggression. You have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, and if you look at, you know, Super Bowl champions since 2011, ESPN did a really good article last week about, you know, Super Bowl champions and where they're at in terms of their contract, rookie contract, first contract, post first contract. And it's like every single Super Bowl champion, with the exception of Mahomes, has either been on his rookie deal or he's been after his first deal. Mm-hmm. So we don't consider the Texans as this wind-out organization because they're young. And, you know, you have Stroud and Anderson only in their second year, Tank in their second year. But since 2011, most of the quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl have been on their rookie deal. So perhaps it's more win now than we think because the Texans have to strike while C.J. Stroud's on that rookie deal. So I applaud Nick Caserio for the aggression. Like, obviously, I like the Hunter signing, the Mixon signing, or the trade was fine because you didn't give up anything. The Diggs one you can question because that's going to be a pretty big, you know, pretty early second-round pick, I should say. But the thing that I will give Caserio a lot of credit for is that he's being super aggressive and going for it when the Texans have to be super aggressive and go for it because C.J. Stroud is still on that rookie deal.
Okay. All right. Now I want to get your thoughts before I let you go on the AFC South, which I am going to be predicting this division here in a little bit, but which is, I think it's kind of easy, but I don't want to say what's easy, especially when the Texans are going to open up against a division rival in the Colts. So I want to get your thoughts, Jeremy, on where you think the AFC South, what it's going to look like this year.
Yeah, probably bottom half of the NFL. You know, some people have it like the second to last or even the worst division in the NFL. I think it's a little better than that. I have it closer to the middle than the bottom, but I do have it in the bottom half. Now, look, Texans were in a race with the Colts all the way to the final game last year, and the Colts didn't have their starting quarterback for a majority of the season. And they also didn't have Jonathan Taylor for a good chunk of that season. Shane Steichen's a heck of a coach. So I like the Colts roster quite a bit. Jacksonville kind of choked to give the division away late in the year, too. So, like, that's a team that I think is better than people give them credit for. Like, they're not a pushover. They're very easily an above 500 team, I think. And I think that Doug Peterson's a great coach. Titans are interesting because I think they have the worst roster in the division, but they have a new coach. And sometimes new coaches can bring new life into a team, offensive-minded, second-year quarterback. So I'm interested to see what they look like. I think at most they win six games, but maybe they're a tough out. Maybe they're not as, you know, easy to beat as they were last year. So I have the Texans, or I have the AFC South, rather, bottom half of the NFL, but closer to the middle than the bottom.
Okay. All right. Hey, Jeremy, look, man, you're going to be my eyes and ears this year, and I hope you come back and join us so we can talk some more Texans football.
Anytime you need me, Mean Gene. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate it. All right, folks, there you go. The co-host of the Killer Bees. You can catch the Killer Bees show here every weekday in the afternoons right here on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, Jeremy is also the voice of the U of H Cougars. So good insights there, just looking at this team. And you know, I forget about Damian Pierce, even though I had him as my running back last year. And I think I ended up dropping him at some point for Singletary, right? But now... and I almost forgot about Cam Akers. So AJ just kind of looks like the depth chart for the Texans. And I couldn't go in the detail as much as I wanted to with Jeremy, but the running back depth chart, the wide receiver depth chart is pretty impressive.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, everyone's regarding the Texans as, you know, one of the best receiving corps, you know, with Nico Collins, with Tank Dell, and, of course, adding in Stephon Diggs. I know on their show, on the Killer Bees, they talked about, you know, if they thought that Cam Akers would make the team or if he'll be, you know, maybe on practice squad or might get cut, something like that. But I think for sure they have a foundation with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. So we'll see what happens in the rest of the preseason for Akers. But I mean, they have a good rotation, like you said.
Yeah. And you know, we didn't even mention Ogunbowale. Which I always mess up that name.
Right.
I'm sorry, but look, this guy, if you don't use him as a running back, he could always kick some field goals, you know?
That's true. I remember that from last year, too. I was at that Tampa game, too, because my dad's a Bucks fan, and I saw him make that field goal. That was cool.
Incredible. You don't find too many running backs when you need them that can come out and kick a 30-yard field goal. But, no, this team is really, really stacked. And Tank Dell, John Michie. Noah Brown. I mean, they are just really, really stacked at every position. So it's going to be interesting. So, look, when we come back here to wrap up the hour, I am going to comment on some of the things that Jeremy stated, and give you my thoughts on the Texans as well. So, folks, once again, a fast-moving show, fast-moving hour here. You are listening to The Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5.
Community Bank Studios. Here's Mean Gene.
All right, we are back here. The last segment of the first hour, and you just heard me speaking with one of the Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5, Jeremy Brenham, talking Texans football. All right, so I'm going to pick the AFC South right now, and I'm going to give a little bit of history about it as I make my picks here. So when we look at the Texans, and let's just go back to 2020, all right? You got a team that finished third in that division. Jacksonville was worse that year. The Texans was 4-12 that year. Jacksonville 1-15. 2021, and mind you, 2020, the COVID year, right? So 2021, Texans 4-13. Jacksonville 3-14. 2022, Texans traded place with Jacksonville. They go 3-13-1. And you look at 2023, the Texans 10-7. Jacksonville 9-8. Indianapolis 9-8. And Tennessee 6-11. So, I mean, things just went the way the Texans wanted them to go. But I mean, who knew and who expected things to go that way with a rookie head coach, a great draft, and just great coaching and all around. Cause look, Indianapolis, they also finished 9-8 with Jacksonville, and who knows what would have happened if Anthony Richardson had played the whole year. That team is still somewhat, you know, question mark. But anyway, I have the Texans going, well, I'm not going to give you a prediction as far as how many games I think they're going to win, because I can't do that right now. But I will say that I have the Texans finishing first in that division. I have the Jaguars finishing second now, and this was a toss-up for me, AJ, because, you know, the Colts giving Anthony Richardson a full year of health, you know, if he's able to have that, and of course, you know, you got Trevor Lawrence coming off this humongous contract there, and I think the Jaguars were pissed last year that they didn't finish strong. They tanked it. I mean, they didn't tank it, but they collapsed. At the worst possible moment there. But I don't think there's no looking back for the Texans, especially when I just give you the history of the last few years, how they have had horrible finishes over the last few years. 3-13-1 last year, 4-12, 4-13 the year before that, and 10-7, I just think is just the beginning. When you go out and add the people like Stephon Diggs and your defense gets better, you already got a good defense. No, this team is, you know, like I said, I'm not going to say, you know, I know there's odds out there for them, you know, 11 or more or whatever, 13. I don't know. But you do the math. You do the additions that what this team have, and not that the other teams didn't improve as well. But I just don't see I don't see the Texans finishing less than first in that division.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I agree. The expectations are real, but I think your list is definitely accurate. Some people may intertwine 2 and 3 because of how the Colts finished off with Anthony Richardson, but it's valid because, like you said about the Jaguars, I mean, they have pressure. Trevor Lawrence, he definitely has to play up to that contract in a sense now, because I mean, you got your bag now. So I mean, what are you going to do on the field now? We'll see. Because I know a lot of people think that he's a little overrated. That's a solid take, I would say, but I don't know. I mean, because he still has potential, I would say, as a number one pick, but. Yeah, the Texans, they should be the favorite, like you said, on both defensively and offensively what they were able to acquire. They certainly should be one of the best teams in the AFC and should be a threat to at least make the AFC championship game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and one reason why I got the Jaguars perhaps, you know, finishing second behind them is because of Gabe Davis, who comes over. Look, you know, Buffalo cannot wait till we talk about the AFC East, because Buffalo just, you know, get rid of both of their 1 and 2 wide receivers But look, so you got Gabe Davis and then you got the first round pick, Brian Thomas Jr., which it should be interesting. Not to mention, you still got Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. So you still got those weapons for the Jacksonville Jaguars that you just can't really, you know, overlooked there. And maybe the offensive line improves, gets a little bit better. Now, they did lose Calvin Ridley, who, man, as a fantasy player, the guy just didn't get enough for me. And I don't know. I mean, that guy, you know, he suspended a couple of years ago for gambling, and he just came back hard. And I just thought that they would keep him, but it just seemed like Christian Kirk seemed to be the favorite of Trevor Lawrence. And we'll see what Gabe Davis do with this team. But, man, I you know, losing that guy hurt there. But he did show up on another team. We'll be talking about that. But looking at the Colts, and one reason why they could certainly, I don't think they're going to win the AFC South, but one reason why they could finish in second place there is because of Jonathan Taylor, Micah Pittman Jr. You know, that guy is really good. Josh Downs, of course. Then they got the rookie in Mitchell. So we should see. We should see. You know, like I say, we don't know. But what I did find interesting today, or was it? Yeah, today was Joe Flacco as coming in as QB2, which is interesting. But hopefully nothing happens to Richardson. But man, Joe Flacco resurfaces once again. The guy just won't go away.
Right, he's Mr. Reliable. I mean, I'm sure he wants to forget that performance he had against the Texans last year. But I mean, how he came in and helped will the Browns to a playoff wild card spot. I mean, that was really good. So I mean, he's still showing that he has obviously the IQ to be a competent quarterback, a backup as well.
And what's scary is having him in your division.
Right, that's true.
And knowing that the what the Texans did to the Browns and all of that. Right. Look, don't think that this guy has forgot about that. You know, and let me tell you, man, if Anthony Richardson is to miss any time with the Colts, you got Joe Flacco. You got a Super Bowl champion, and you just saw what he did last year. Now, one of the biggest losses, I thought, from the Colts was Zach Moss, which just, you know, I know Jonathan Taylor, once they got that little contract thing out the way, and you know, he was always your number one guy. But Zach Moss, I really think they will miss him in the running game.
Right, and he's going to be good for Cincinnati as well, as they lost Joe Mixon, obviously, going to Houston. So he'll be able to help, too. I mean, they had like a little good 1-2 game when Jonathan Taylor did return last year. So, yeah, they are going to miss him, like you said.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I mean, if Anthony Richardson, praying willfully, God willing, that he's able to stay healthy. Of course, we don't want him to, you know, get injured again, but he has that running ability that's pretty.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the Texans are going to find out first game of the season.
That's true.
Going to find out real soon. You know, how that goes. And Colts, Texans have always had, you know, good games. But I just think, you know, when you look at on paper, when you look at coaching, when you look at the additions, I don't see the Texans, you know, I think they should be able to sweep. I think they could sweep the division. I know that's saying a whole lot, and that's going to get you a lot of wins right there if they do sweep the division. But looking at the Tennessee Titans, which, you know, one of those teams, look, they, Derrick Henry no longer with the Titans, you know, and, but, offensively, the Titans did improve. They got Tony Pollard, if you call that an improvement there, your guy from the Cowboys.
Certainly a good pickup, but not an improvement over Derrick Henry, but
yeah. No way at all.
We didn't keep him, but yeah.
And they also got Tyler Boyd, you know, and then they get Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Now, this is a mistake that you don't like to make. You don't ever want to trade a decent wide receiver in your own division. So the Jacksonville Jaguars decided they no longer needed Calvin Ridley's services, now have to deal with him twice this year.
Exactly. And then defensively, the Titans also got L'Jarius Sneed from Kansas City. So that was a really good signing for them as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you know, it's just, you know, and who knows? I mean, I could be wrong about picks 2, 3, and 4, but I'd be damned if I'm wrong about who's going to win the AFC South. All right, so you can argue with me all day on, no, it's going to be the Titans, it's going to be the Jaguars, it's going to be the Colts. You guys are just battling for second place and third and whatever, because, you know, I just don't see anything. And then another thing I want to go back and add here is that, you know, we talk about, you know, quarterbacks do get hurt. I know CJ Stroud did miss some times, but look, you got three starting quarterbacks on the Texans team. You got Davis Mills. Is it Davis Mills?
Yeah, it's Davis Mills.
And you also have Case Keenum.
You think Davis Mills is a capable starting quarterback?
Well, he was a starting quarterback, you know.
And got how many?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, the experience counts. Better than looking down the bench and seeing a rookie who ain't never seen the damn field, knowing you got to make a choice of getting somebody in there. So I would say that. So I don't know. I'd like to get someone here to give us a call. And you know, if you agree or disagree with my – if you're a Texans, there's just no way in hell you disagree with my AFC South predictions. But I definitely want to talk about that. You want to go ahead and give us a call, 713-780-3776. Titans fans, Jaguar fans, Colts fans. You got 30 seconds to make your damn point if you call. Okay, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm just not going to hear a lot of mess from those fans, all right? But, I like what, you know, what I'm seeing here. I think the division is going to be interesting. And I know Jeremy stated where he thought the division kind of lies within the AFC. And look, we haven't even talked about Patrick Mahomes, the AFC West. We will talk about, I just got a text. You're not talking about the Raiders. Well, I will. I will get to the Raiders next week. I think when we cover the AFC East and the AFC West, we'll talk about that. But no, it's all about the AFC South. Today, and these are my predictions. I got the Texans finishing first, Jaguars second, Colts third, Titans fourth. So let me know if you agree, you disagree, if you think you don't think the Texans are going to win the AFC. Some folks think that they may not win, they may not make the playoffs, which we have seen teams go from worst to first, but that's not going to happen this year. I don't think. You're going to see that with a team that's improving the way this team is. And I guess living here, you know, and we're certainly going to give them some home cooking, but we kind of see the ins and outs of this team and what they do on a daily basis and where the management is, and just not in those dark days where they once were. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody wants to hear about it. Nobody wants to relive the dark days of the Texans and names, you know, that we just don't care to mention. It's all about the now, the future. The future is now. And I think that's what people need to focus on. So, look, we're going to wrap up this first hour. When we come back the second hour, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to get into the AFC North. We'll talk about that. And I will have my great friend from CBSSports.com, senior writer Brian DiArdo. He's going to join us. So, hey, come back, folks. Come back. Come back with your call, 713-780-3776. We'll talk to you in the next hour. It's the Mean Gene Show right here, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.